In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Good morning. Beautiful weather, isn't it? I was not thrilled to wake up this morning freezing and watching it rain. I'm glad you all came out anyway. And what a glorious day for us to come together as the body of Christ here at Holy Innocence and worship together. Amen? See? I heard it sneaking out. It's just a good thing that we can come together and then, of course, hear these readings, how timely, about being one body. And I spoke a fair amount about that last week. I actually want to talk to you about the gospel according to Luke, because as we hear what Jesus is doing in this gospel, it helps us better understand this concept that Paul is giving about being one body and how each person is able to do and each person has this gift and what gift may each person have. All those things, which I know you're already aware, but I'll say it anyway, all those gifts that you all have for the betterment of the body, for the growing of the body, for the expansion of the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ comes through Jesus Christ. That's it. It's His Spirit indwelling us that gives us the power to do all these things that He calls us to do. And a good day to focus on it. And here we just take a little bit of a step back to be reminded. How can we do that? Because I don't know about you, but most days I really don't feel like I have what it takes to do that which God calls the church to do. Maybe you're better at it and more confident in it than I am, but most of the time I'm sort of just hanging on the edge going, I don't think I'm doing this right. You know what I mean? And then I just got to fall back and go, well, it's God's plan, not mine. You know, if He called me and I screwed it up, that's on Him. You know? I mean, that's not my gig. I'm going to do my best. But He knows who I am. I mean, I got a track record. Not a criminal record. I have a track record. And then I'd have to say, well, this is His choice. I don't understand it. I wouldn't have chosen me to do any of the work that He's called me to. But He has. Just like He's called everyone in here to something that will matter. So we hear in the gospel according to Luke, right after, you know, Jesus was baptized, He's been into the desert. This comes after His temptation. Funny thing happens, by the way, hold on to this. When the Lord anoints you and sends you out to do a mighty work for Him, you're probably going to find a little temptation between that calling and the doing. Don't panic, but don't be tempted. Stay focused. Stay on track. I'll add that in for you. So after this, here we have all this happening. Jesus now begins His ministry in Galilee. And then Jesus, listen closely, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee. And a report about Him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. Now, we won't go this far today in the gospel, but we probably know that that praise won't last long. They will eventually come after Him and want to kill Him in just a few short sentences. But He returns to Galilee, and He begins this ministry. And as He goes into the synagogue to teach, verse 16, when He came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, He went to the synagogue, and on the Sabbath day, as was His custom, He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to Him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. Now, the scholars will say this is very accurate, because they wouldn't have handed Him the scroll unless He was standing. So they're saying, oh, this is following what normally would happen, so this must be a pretty accurate statement. And Jesus sits down. Well, doesn't sit down. He stands up to read from the prophet Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," back to the baptism, "because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and to recover and the recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." So Jesus, in the beginning of his ministry, has now stated his purpose. His mission is to carry the good news. His purpose is built right into the words of the prophet Isaiah. He is here to set captives free, to bring sight to the blind, freedom to the oppressed. This is what he is going to do. This is the call placed on him. This is what he has been anointed for. This is what will happen through the very power of God, which is himself. He rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Today. See, the prophet Isaiah said, prophet speaking on behalf of God, says all that Jesus had read. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Now, all the times that this had been heard before and read before, the people understood that the prophet was speaking on behalf of God. This is what God was going to do. Now, Jesus is sitting before them reading it and saying, it's fulfilled right now in your hearing that it has been read yet again. But they're hearing it from the very word or from the very mouth of God incarnate. It's him. This is the moment. That which Isaiah said has taken place right then before their eyes. He is that power. He is that one that will bring these things forward. It has been fulfilled in your hearing. This day wasn't just that day. Jesus breaking into this creation, claiming his place, the incarnate God, clarified this is the new day. This is a new day. We could say it's a new season. And we are still in that season. In fact, from the moment that this was taking place in the gospel according to Luke, we have actually gone beyond. Because Jesus was crucified, died, and was buried, and he what? Rose again. And he poured out onto his church the very Spirit of God that was upon him when he sat down to read from Isaiah. This Spirit of God has been poured out on the church, all of us. That is how we can be one body. That is how we can claim the gifts that he is giving by the Spirit of God. That time is now. The time has been since then, and it is still now. Amen? See, this is that time. And this is our time. I understand that I move through my faith in a very different way than other people I cross paths with on occasion. I tend to be moving with an urgency. And I understand why that is. I tend to get excited about things happening and that the church be moving and the church be doing and the church be, oh, I don't know, bringing sight to the blind, feeding the hungry, you know, freeing the oppressed. There's really two reasons for that. One, I spent a big chunk of my life ignoring it. I just blew it off. It was somebody else's job. I didn't care. The other, since I discovered actually I do have a role in it, is I don't feel like I got a lot of time left to do it. Now, what that equates to is at some point, we will all stand before the judge. And I don't want to have to explain myself. I've done that a lot in my life. And you know, I want to be able to stand before him and know that I did the best I could do. Not so I can earn anything, but because I want to please him. For all that I have received, the sight I have received spiritually, my eyes still aren't that good. The freedom I have received from the oppression of my life, mostly self-inflicted. But I've received his grace and his mercy. And I can hardly stand to see someone who's still trapped. Because I know that is not what God wants. What he wants is for us to be free. Free of the oppression. Free of our concerns and our worries and our anxieties. He wants us to walk in the light with him. And he wants us to do it now. So when you hear Paul talk about all the various parts of the body and all the various gifts, I hope you don't say, "That's not me." Because it is you. I promise it is you. God is going to do a mighty work in his creation. He's doing it through his church. But before the church can do that mighty work in this world, the church has to accept the fact that he's done a mighty work in them. That, brothers and sisters, we call a witness. We carry that to the world, and the world is transformed. Transformed lives, transforming the world. Has to be in that order. So this morning, we should be encouraged to know that from what Jesus is claiming of himself in the gospel according to Luke is the very reason we can confidently say, "I'm ready to go." We may not feel like it, but that really doesn't matter. It doesn't. You know. I hear the chuckling. That's someone who knows. That's someone who went off to the edge and went, "Okay," and stepped right off and said, "Oh, he does have me." You've seen the cartoon where the person has fallen off the cliff and they're hanging onto the little one branch that sticks out and they're saying, "Let go, let go." And then it kind of pans out and they're, you know, a foot off the ground, but the person won't let go. Every time I see it, I think of the church. We're right there on the edge. All we have to do is let go and discover the fullness of the glory of God. To see the movement of his body complete. To see the gifts that he has poured out on us come to fruition in our lives and in the lives of others. To see the body built up by the Holy Spirit. To know that God has called us and there is an urgency to what he's called us to. There is. We can be assured today that Jesus is saying, "I am this person Isaiah spoke about." Jesus sat and said, "This is me." And Paul says to us, Jesus is that one. That one who has poured the very Spirit of God out on us to do all that he had done and more. Not that we'll do greater things than he did. We'll just do more of the things he did. That time is now. Hear these words today and be encouraged. Whatever fear or concern you may have had, whatever worry you could have about maybe I won't do it right, I would say to you today, let it go. As my father-in-law taught me years ago, if you do nothing, Brian, nothing will happen. If you do something and you do it wrong, we can fix that. We will make mistakes. We'll probably upset each other along the way. But you know, if we stay focused on what we've been given to do, and we remember that the strength in which we do it is through God Himself, He will make good of whatever mess we make. But we must stand firmly on the foundation of Jesus Christ, the one who points to Himself in the words of the prophet Isaiah today, is the one who lives with us now, within us. This is our day. This is our day to move without fear, to see the fullness of God's glory. Amen.